It's been easy to worship the Lord today, hasn't it? I tell you, the music has really been good. And I tell you, the reason that the music is so good is because of who we're singing about and who it's pointing us to. And I tell you, if you're not seeing Jesus this morning, if you've not seen Him, I'm not sure you must not be on the right channel. You got the wrong channel. You need to get your antennas out, get them tuned in, tuned up, and get there. I tell you, the Lord is good. How in the world do people live without Jesus? How do they do it? Well, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. There's been a lot of things going on in the last couple of weeks, especially as you think about folks that have passed away, folks that we've loved. We loved them, and they fought illnesses, sicknesses, and they didn't win. The Lord saw fit to take them on home. We don't always understand that. Never have understood why. Some do and some don't. Some make it, some don't. The Lord sees fit to let these folks live, sees fit not to allow those folks to live. And yet, we know that God's good.
Amen.
We know God's good. We know He never does anything wrong. We know He never makes an accident. It's not an accident. One day we get to heaven, we're going to be able to find out, Lord, why'd You do this? Why did this happen? And He's going to explain it to us. I think He's just going to open up to us, and we're going to say, okay, I see it now. I understand. I know what You're trying to do. You're trying to accomplish something there. And something great was going on behind the scenes. We didn't understand it, and we didn't know about it. But God, we could still trust You no matter what. You know, we see some heartaches like that, and then we look out and we think about this building. I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about this building. It's not because it's a building, but because it is evidence of God working. God's doing something great. And I tell you, we need to see that for what it is. You know, Brother Ron was teaching Sunday school this morning, and he was talking about Rahab, and he was talking about how she heard about God opening up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walking through on dry land. You know, in our day and age, we don't have a Red Sea, but I'm gonna tell you what. That's akin to it right over here. God opened up the doors, and He's doing something great. He's doing something great. And He's going to allow us to do more for Him than we've ever been able to do before. I tell you, it's exciting to see that, to think about that. God is working. And, you know, I'm glad that God is always working. Now, this morning, we want to look at a passage of Scripture, and we're going to read several verses, and really, the passage goes all the way from Mark chapter 4, verse 35, all the way through chapter 5, verse 43. There's four series of events that has happened just seemingly one right after the other. And through this and in this, God is working and He's doing something. And these people, how much they understand, how much they know what's going on and everything, that's not really what's important. What's important is God's doing something in their life. They're going through a difficulty, and God's trying to make a way for them. God is making the way for them, and they just need to trust Him and see that and turn to Him. And God's just going to do some great things here. And so let's look at we're going to look at, like I said, four different things here and how God gives victory in the midst of trials. Look at verse number 35. The Bible says, in the same day. Now what He's talking about, if you turn to chapter 4, beginning of chapter 4 there, He is beginning to teach by the seaside. He's getting ready. He has been teaching them. And so after He has taught them, and after they have heard His words, Jesus is going to continue on. There's many other things that's going to happen here. And He says, the same day when the eve was come, it's afternoon time now, He says unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And let's bow for prayer. Now, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we sure do need your help. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would just bless. And, Lord, there's a lot of verses of Scripture we're going to read. Lord, a lot of things that you're doing here, things are taking place. Help us to see. Lord, help us to learn. Help us to understand, Lord, what it is you have for us and what you're trying to teach us here. And we sure are going to thank you for what you do now. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see is I want you to see how we can have victory over danger. You know, we asked the question, why does God allow trials to come into our life? You know, and there's many different forms of trials. You know, it seems like really, in a real sense, someone has said it like this, that you're either in a trial, you're getting ready to go into a trial, or you've just come out of a trial. Now, I know that's probably not the truth, but it sure does seem like it sometimes. And it seems like that if one thing happens, it seems like maybe, you know, another thing follows up right with that. You know, most of the time our trials are not that bad. Now, I know there's people, and I know I've faced some difficulties and some trials in my life, but most of our trials are really not that big. Most of our trials are not really that much to them, but I know and I understand we go through some things. But you know, there's this thing over the victory over danger. You know, as we go out every day, we never know what we're going to face. I've always thought to myself, Lord, I wonder how many times you have protected me, maybe even saved my life, because you intervened and I didn't even realize it. I didn't even know what you were doing, Lord, but you sent something out there and you did something and you protected me, and I didn't even understand, didn't even know what you did. But in this case right here, we see that there's a great storm that's come up on the sea. By the way, can I tell you, and we know this, if we've read the Scriptures very much at all, you know, these disciples, they went through several storms in their lifetime. And the time that Jesus was on the earth with them and he was trying to teach them, they went through several storms. And it seemed like that every time they went through a major storm like this, they just failed to see what God was trying to do in their life. And so here we find, here there is going to be a testing of our faith. They had been taught something that day. Jesus had been teaching them, and he was trying to prepare them for the day that he's going to leave, and they're going to have to carry on the ministry here. And he's been teaching them, and he's been teaching the multitudes. And so, you know, most of the time when the Lord is teaching us something or trying to teach us something, there always has to be a test to come along to prove and to test our faith. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, our faith, if it's never tested, if it's never proved, if it's never put to the test, really our faith is just not going to be what God wants it to be or needs it to be. We've got to go through the test. We've got to see God and allow God to prove himself when we're going through the most difficult times in our life. You know, and folks, listen, no matter what we're going through, it makes no difference what we're facing. We need to always see that God is always faithful. God is always trying to teach us something. God is always working in our life. And by the way, whether we realize it or not, God is always working in behalf of us. He's trying to do something in our life. And so there's testing here that's going to come. You know, the Lord told them, and we're going to see this, but there's three reasons, at least three reasons why the disciples should not have been afraid. It was their, you know, really it was their unbelief. You know, I think it was Brother Doss that he was preaching just a couple of weeks ago, preaching on Mark chapter 6, where they went through a storm. And, you know, the Bible says at the end of that passage of Scripture, he says they didn't believe because of the hardness of their heart. And so we saw in that passage of Scripture there that it was because they were hard-hearted. But here, for whatever reason, he's not as clear, doesn't tell us right out what's going on. But here they are, the Bible says, and when they got through with this, verse 40 says, "And why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is going to rebuke them because they have no faith. There's no trust in the Lord at this time whatsoever. There's no trust at all. But there's really, let's look at three reasons why they should not have been afraid. First of all, he promised they would arrive on the other side. Now, look at what he says here. Sometimes we get in trouble. Sometimes we go through a trial because we've been disobedient. That's not the case here in this case. This is not the situation. You see, they were being obedient to the Lord. Like I said, let's look at what he says in verse number 1. And the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." In other words, he's telling them, "Hey, let's get on the boat. We got somewhere we got to go. We're going to go to the other side over here." So they were being obedient to the Lord. They were doing exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. Now, it's one thing like Jonah. You know, God told Jonah, he said, "Jonah, I've got something I want you to do." And Jonah said, "No, I'm not going to do it, God." And he took off and went the other way. But God sent a storm. And God sent him through a terrible storm in his life. And, you know, the Bible tells us that they started throwing everything off the ship, and they were doing everything they could to try to save Jonah and try to save, you know, their lives. But it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, Jonah said, "Listen, I'm the reason y'all are going through all this. I'm the reason this problem is going on." He says, "If you'll just throw me over the side, all this will be over." And of course, they didn't want to do that. But, you know, eventually they got to the place where he said, "You know what, this guy's making some sense. I believe he may be the trouble." And so they throwed him over. As soon as they did, it stopped. Well, Jonah was in a storm because of his disobedience. These disciples are in a storm because of their obedience to the Lord. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And by the way, God had said, "We're going to go to the other side." Now, when God said that, he didn't say, "We're going to go through the other side and you're not going to have a problem at all. There's not going to be even a ripple on the water." He didn't say that. He just said, "We're going to the other side." Now, did Jesus know the storm was coming? Absolutely, he did. He knew the storm was coming. He knew there was going to be problems. He knew that there was going to be a test of their faith. And yet, he allowed them to go through this because, listen, he was trying to teach them something he wanted them to see. All right? And so he promised they would arrive to the other side. The second reason is the Lord himself was with them. The Lord was with them. Now, you know, many times when we're going through things, we face things, we don't always stop and make a conscious thought to ourselves, "Hey, you know what? I'm going through something difficult in my life," but, you know, the Bible has said that God promised he would always be with us. God's always with us. And we don't always realize that. We don't always think about that. But here, they had the very presence of the Lord with them. He was right there with them. Matter of fact, the third reason why they shouldn't have been afraid was because he was at peace, even though there was a great storm. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some things in the Bible that you read, it's hard to understand in it. I think this is a hard thing to understand. How in the world could this storm be so violent? These men are fearful. These men are fishermen. These men are experienced being out on the ocean. They've been in storms before. And the Bible says they were afraid, but Jesus was asleep. The boat was filling up with water. Jesus is asleep. How do you sleep through something like that? How in the world could you be asleep and the world around you is falling down? Well, the Lord was at peace even in the midst of the storm. By the way, he knew exactly how things were going to work out, didn't he? He knew how things were going to turn out. He didn't really, really, in all reality, he didn't have a care in the world because, listen, he was in control of the storm. And he wanted these disciples to see that very thing. You know, it's interesting when you look at verse 41 there. The Bible says, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wouldn't that have been amazing to see that? If you ever been in a storm, you know, the storm just doesn't stop just like that, but this storm did. Why? Because the commander said, stop. And when he says stop, it stopped. The wind stopped blowing, the waves laid down. And listen, Jesus is in control of the storm. They had victory over danger. And I want you to see the second thing here. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 1. And most of us would be familiar with this account in the Bible. But we'll read a few verses out of this. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, in this instance here, we see victory over demons. Now, Matthew, the account in Matthew tells us that there were two men here, but listen, there was only one. There was only one that was going to be set free. You know, there's all kinds of things that's going on here in this passage of Scripture. Here's a man that is demon possessed. Now, let me just say right off the bat, if you are a Christian, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God living within us, and no demon can possess us. No demon can dwell where the Spirit of God is. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. And so that's not the issue. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lost man that had given himself over to the devil. He pretty much, we would call it today, he had sold his soul to the devil. He had given his life to the devil. And guess what? The devil, when you do that, the devil is glad to take you up on that offer. Listen, the devil wants to do everything he can to ruin and destroy your life. And so here was this man that had given himself totally over to the devil. And the devil, this, by the way, this is a great picture of what the devil will do to you and how he will ruin your life if you let him have control of it. This is what he wants to do. This is a great picture of that. And this is the reason why, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you don't know what it means to be saved, this is a great reason for you to see, a great way for you to see, this is what the devil wants to do to you. This is how he wants your life to turn out. But it don't have to be that, because listen, when Jesus comes in, the devil has to move out. Those two can't dwell in the same place together. Now, we see here that there's three different forces at work here in this man's life. First of all, we see Satan. The Bible tells us that Satan is a thief. And he wants to destroy your life. Listen, the Bible tells us that Satan has come to rob, to kill, and to steal everything he can from you. He wants to, like I said, he wants to ruin your life. All right? And so he's come to destroy your life. They had lost their home. They were living among the tombs. They were living out here. These two men, they were living out here all by themselves. They were in the tombs. So they'd lost their home. They'd lost their families. By the way, their families didn't want anything to do with them. Why? Because the devil had control of their life. They'd lost their friends. They'd lost their decency. The Bible says they were going through and no clothes on whatsoever. And they had lost all self-control. Folks, listen, they didn't have any control over their life whatsoever. The devil was going to do everything he could to ruin them. A second thing I want you to see here is society. Society usually does not have any answers to life problems. You know, the world usually doesn't have answer to life's problems. And you know, they go through this world, most of the time, they go through this world with no answers and with no hope. As Brother Luke sung a while ago, how do you live without Jesus? Well, the world lives without Jesus. The world lives the world lives doing the best they can to try to get by with their by their own help. And usually, there's no answers to life problems. They isolate them. They had put these men out. They had forced them to get away from everybody else, and they put them out there in the tombs. They forget about them. They bind them. Can you imagine being bound with chains and being bound with fetters, and the devil have such control over your life that they were able just to break these chains with no problem whatsoever? It'd be hard to imagine that. These men were out. The Bible says that they would take rocks and they would cut themselves for whatever reason. I guess the torment was so bad that they would do anything they could to distract their mind or get their mind off of everything that was going on in their life. But they tried to bind them, maybe even tried to drug them. And you know what? They just left them out there all by themselves. No help and no hope whatsoever. Folks, listen. These guys were in a bad situation. But you know what? There's one other force that's getting ready to do something, and he does have the power to do something about it, and that's the Savior. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says that Jesus comes to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, this is what the Lord does. The Lord has come that he might try to win everybody that the devil has control of their life. Listen, the Lord doesn't want you to have the devil to have control of your life. He doesn't want you to give your life to him. He wants to have your life so that he might help you and save you. The devil wants to destroy you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus came to seek and to save that which lost. He came to them. Isn't that amazing? You know, he went through a storm. It was a storm that was so fearful that these disciples were fearful. But you know what? Jesus had a purpose in that storm. One of the reasons was he had to get through it so he could get to this man over here. He came to where they were at. He spoke to them. He treated them with love. You know, these men had not known anything of anybody's care for months, maybe even years. Nobody cared for these men. Nobody had any time for these men. Nobody wanted to be around these men. But let me just tell you, Jesus did. Amen. Jesus would stop everything that he's doing. Listen, just earlier that morning, he'd been teaching maybe thousands of people. He'd been teaching them and telling them or giving them the Word of God so that they might hear the gospel, but yet he would take time to go to one man so he could love him. He delivered him from the bondage of Satan. And you see the evidence of his salvation. The Bible tells us a little bit later on, we won't take time to read that, but the Bible says that he was clothed and he was in his right mind. He wanted to be with Jesus. He asked, "Jesus, I want to go with you. And I want to be around you, and I want to hear more about you, and I want to learn more about you." And Jesus said, "You know what? I'm going to tell you what's going to be better for you. Stay here and go back and tell others what I've done for you." Amen. And you know what? You know, not every time does the Lord want us to give up everything and go follow after him in the sense of, you know, going into the ministry or whatever. Most of the time, for most people, you know what he wants? He wants us to go and tell others what he's done for us, how he's delivered us, how he's saved us. And so here we find a man that has victory over the devil. And you know what? He had no faith at the beginning, but with Jesus, he found saving faith. He had saving faith. All right. And then the third thing I want you to see here, and we've heard most of us would be familiar with this woman here, but here was a woman that had been sick for a long time. The Bible says for 12 years. And so here we find victory over disease. We don't know what really was going on in her life, what this disease was necessarily, but we just know that she was a sick lady that had been trying to get relief for over 12 years. She was looking for help for 12 years, and she had given everything that she had. She'd spent it all, and the Bible says that she was no better after she'd spent everything that she had looking for a cure, looking for some help. After 12 years, she was no better off than she was at the very beginning. Folks, you know, sometimes sickness is like that, isn't it? I mean, people get sick, and sometimes it seems like they never get better. They never get better. Now, you know, the Lord doesn't heal Everybody. Like I said, we said that a while ago. I don't understand why all that happens. Why sometimes God heals somebody and God doesn't heal somebody. I don't understand that. But we know, like I said, we know that God always does what's right. Here was a lady that had a sickness, and she'd been sick for 12 years. Now, was it a life-ending illness? I don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us that. But it looks like to me that she was probably getting worse and worse and worse, and she was not going to get any better. And yet, the Bible says that she was going to do something here because of her faith, because of what she had heard. She was going to do something here that was going to change her life forever. You know, really, in reality, as we read through here, and really she is in connection with this Jairus. He was a ruler. He was an important man, and he was a prominent man. But you know, this lady was really a nobody. You know, if we don't have any other reason why we have this account in the Bible, if you know, for no other reason that she was a nobody, is to let us know that, you know, it doesn't matter if you are a nobody or you are a somebody. Jesus loves you just the same. Jesus will help you just the same. And so here we find a lady that really she had no name. We don't know anything about her. She was probably, no doubt, she was a poor lady. She was just living on you know, just getting by. And yet she had heard about the Lord, and she was going to do all she could to get to him. Look at what the Bible says here when it says in where was it at? Verse number 21. And when the Bible says, and when Jesus passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, and we talked about him. We'll see him just a little bit later on. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter is nigh unto death. And so he meets Jesus. He says, now listen, and by the way, can you imagine? Now here's a lady, she's probably in rags. She probably doesn't have nice clothing on at all. She's probably in rags. Here, this man, he's an important man. He's got on the best. He's got on colorful clothing. I mean, you know, he's probably got people around him. You know, he is really a somebody here. And here he is, and he's talking to the Lord, and no doubt this probably added to her problems, because she's going to look at him and say, what am I next to this guy? You know, the Lord's busy. He's going to be helping this man. He's not going to want to help me. He's not going to want to do anything for me. And yet she says, I've still got to do something. I'm going to do something. And the Bible says that she went and she got as close as she could. And the Bible says, by faith, she reaches out and she just touched. She said, if I can just touch, I don't have to lay hands on him. I don't have to hold his hand or grab a hold of his arm. She said, if I can just touch a piece of his clothing, that's all it'll take. Because I know he's going to do something. I know he's going to heal me. You know, isn't it interesting? The Bible says two different times here that the multitudes were thronging him. In other words, there were people bumping up against him, touching him, holding on to him. There were people all over him. And this happened a lot. It was going on for a long time. And the Bible says that all she did was just touch the hem of his garment. And you know, those people didn't get healed. Those people didn't get anything. But this lady got completely healed. Hey, what made the difference? It was because she had a desperate faith. Amen. She said, I'm desperate. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have no place else to turn to. I've done everything I know to do, and this is my last chance. This is my last opportunity. But I've heard that if you can get to Jesus, he'll make a difference in your life. Guess what? She was right. And you know what? Folks, listen, if you can get to Jesus, he'll change your life. Amen. He'll make the difference in your life. By the way, it's not hard to get to him. You can get to him anytime you want to. And then the last thing here real quick, not only victory over disease, but victory over death. Now, this was Bible days. This is not our day. Jesus doesn't raise people from the dead. But here was a little girl, this Jairus, this ruler, his daughter, was sick, and he believed that she was going to die. But, you know, even this man believed, if I can just get Jesus, if I can just get him to look at my girl, if I can just get him to come, I know he'll do something. I know he can do something. And you know what? He was right. He was right about that. But in the process of all this that's going on and all the things that happened, the Bible tells us that somebody came to him while he was still trying to get Jesus to his house. And they said, "Why trouble the master? Listen, she's already died. She's dead. There's no hope now. There's nothing he can do. It's too late for that." But you know what? Folks, can I just tell you, with Jesus, it's never too late. It's never too late. And so here we find that he goes to the house. She's there. And the people had already started to mourn. There were people there that were already there preparing and getting ready to, you know, probably, no doubt, to bury this little girl. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Why are you making this ado? What's the big deal? Why are you weeping? What are you doing? She's only asleep." You know what? isn't it amazing how the Bible tells us that these folks know. I don't know about you, but it would be awful hard to think about somebody, Jesus saying something, and people laughing at him because of what he said. But yet, here they are. These folks, the Bible says, not only did they laugh at him, but they laughed him to scorn. They just kept on laughing. They were mocking him, no doubt. And you know what he did? Didn't faze him a bit. He just puts them out. He says, "Y'all just go on out. We'll be out in a minute." And he takes the family in, and he speaks to her, and he tells her, little girl, you come up. You rise up." And you know what? The Bible says that she rose up out of the dead. Isn't that amazing to see that, to think about that? Amen. You know, and we understand that there were so many people that they healed during Bible days. I mean, it was prophesied that when Jesus come, when the Messiah come, he would heal the sick. He would make the blind to see. He would make the lame to walk again. And you know what? Even he would raise the dead. He would raise the dead. And he did that. Now, he didn't do that a lot, but there were a few occasions. When he entered the scene, he came on the scene, he would bring somebody back to life. Now, why did he do that? Well, like I said, I don't know everything, but I believe if for no other reason he did that to prove that it could be done. No doubt he did it to because it was a fulfillment of prophecy, but he did it to show, I believe, to show us and to prove to us, listen, that the dead one day are going to live again. Amen. They're going to live again. You know how I know that? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, the Bible says, "O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" And you know what? He says, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, folks, can I tell you that the Lord doesn't raise people from the dead these days, but you know what? One day, He's going to raise every Christian from the grave, every Christian that has ever died in the Lord, and they're buried in a cemetery somewhere, or maybe they're not even buried. Maybe they've been cremated, or their ashes are spread, or whatever. One day, He's going to raise all those dead from the ground. He's going to raise them alive, and they'll be alive forevermore. You know, the Bible says this, and this is a great thing. Think about it. You know, the Bible says that if you trust Him as Savior, he says it like this: if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And really, what He's saying, He says, if you accept Me as Savior, you will never ever die. You'll never die. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Amen. You know, Amen. The Bible tells us when we trust Christ as Savior, we get everlasting life. What does that mean? It means that your life will last forever. And you will never die. You never die. Now, this body lays down. And it's buried and put away. But you know, really, who we really are never dies. We close our eyes here in death. We're awake in heaven. Just like that. James Fry. We prayed. I don't know about y'all, but we prayed. And I know many of y'all prayed too. We prayed that God would heal him. We did. I'd be the first to tell you, I honestly believe that God was going to heal him and raise him back up to full strength. I really did. But you know what? For whatever reason, God didn't see fit to do that. But you know, in all reality, James is the healthiest he's been, ever been here on this earth. He's more healthy now than he's ever been. His heart, it's in tip-top shape. You know? I tell you, he's walking on the streets of gold. He is seeing the Savior. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God gives the victory. God gives the victory. Listen, and you know what? In every one of those cases there, every one of those folks had different faith. Some, his disciples, the Bible said, they had no faith. And God still delivered them from the danger. But there was others that had great faith. And you know what? God was able to do great things in their life. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you, I'm thankful. Listen, God gives the victory. God gives the victory. You know what he asked from us? That we just put our faith and trust in him. Trust him. That he's going to work things out. And you know what? That's exactly what he's going to do. God's in control. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry when he's in control. Let's bow our heads for prayer.